भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय From Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 71, the Lord travels to Indraprastha. Text number 10. Jarasandha, Vada, Krishna, Buri, Atayopakaupate, Praya, Paka, Vipakena, Tava, Abhimata Kratu Jarasandha Vada Krishna Jarasandha Vada Krishna Bhuyata Yopakalpate Bhuyata Yopakalpate Praya Pakka Vipakena Tava Chabi Mata Kratu Jarasandha Vada Krishna Bhuyatayopakalpate Praya Pakka Vipakena Tava Chabi Mata Kratu
Jarasandha Vada Krishna
Bhuyata
Yopakalpate Praya Pakka Vipakena Tava Chabi Mata Kratu
As the reaction.
Tava
by you.
Cha
and
Abhimata
favored. Kratu the sacrifice. Translation. O Krishna, the killing of Jarasandha, which is certainly a reaction of his past sins, will bring immense benefit. Indeed, you will make possible the sacrificial ceremony you desire. Srila Swami explains that the word Bhuryata, immense benefit, signifies that with the death of Jarasandha, it will become easy to kill the demon Shishupal and to realize other objectives. The great commentator Srila Swami further explains that the term Paka indicates that the kings will be saved as a result of their piety, and that the term Vipakena indicates that Jarasandha will die as a result of his wickedness. In either case, the plan Uddhava has proposed is most favorable for the execution of the great Rajasuya sacrifice, desired by both the Lord and his pure devotees, the Pandavas, headed by King Yudhisthira. Jarasandha Vada Krishna Bhuyatayo Pakhavate Prayapaka Vipakena Tava Chabi Mata Kritu. For Krishna, the killing of Jarasandha, which is certainly a reaction of his past sins, will bring immense benefit. Indeed, it will make possible the sacrificial ceremony you desire. Om Nagana Timlandasya Kananjana Slakaya Sakshma Mritam Vyamatasmai Shri Guru Vyamaha Namo Vishabdaya Krishna Pesatme Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamitam Namaste Sarasati Devi Kauravani Machari Nani Vishesa Sindhu Vali Pasujani Vishnathari Nani. So just a little recap. At the waist of Narada Muni, telling Krishna, Maharaj is here, is inviting him to attend the Rajasura sacrifice, and that many kings and demigods will be there, eager to see him. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, they were actually in the middle of discussing war plans to attack Jarasandha. So there was a dilemma what he should do. So he asked Uddhava, was his advisor, for advice. And Uddhava, being a very intelligent devotee and very wise, he came up with a proposal that satisfied both. That first he should attack and kill Jarasandha, because after all, to perform the Rajasura sacrifice, you have to conquer over all the other kings. At least the other kings have to submit to you and accept your supremacy. So by killing Jarasandha, then Raja Yudhisthira will be able to perform the Rajasura sacrifice without any problem. So here, Sridhar Maharaj is pointing out the immense benefit of that one activity. And that is a wonderful thing of the activities of Krishna. By one activity, he fulfills so many purposes. By this one activity of killing Jarasandha, he also set the precedent for killing Shishupali and the other demons. And Jarasandha is killed, other demons are going to be killed. Maharaj Yudhisthira will be able to perform his Rajasura sacrifice. The kings will be freed from their captivity. And the Yadavas will be satisfied that they're not going to have any more trouble from Jarasandha. So in this way, one activity fulfills so many purposes. It's the same thing when Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared to establish religious principles, Dharma, to give pleasure to his devotees, and to kill the demons. So just by his appearance, he fulfilled all three purposes. So that's the wonderful thing about Krishna's activities. That is, you can go deeper and deeper and understand how his activities is so influential, influence on so many different levels. In fact, every activity that is performed in Krishna consciousness has an influence on so many levels. It's just like now we are on a marathon. For some people, they might think, oh, just going out selling books. Book selling. For some materialists, they may think, oh, this is just a business activity. Selling a product in exchange for some money. But there's so much more to it than that. It's yajna. It's Sankirtan yajna. In fact, when we go on the marathon, it's maha yajna. It's tapasya. One is performing austerity. By distributing books, people are getting, receiving the books, they're getting purified. They're getting immense benefit, being connected. In fact, the devotional service begins just by touching the book and buying the book. Some people, they read the book, they become devotees. And then later on, the next year marathon, they'll be distributing more books. In one of the Sankirtan meetings, we were meeting some of the Bhakti Rishna people. How they bought a book, And then last year they went out and issued books themselves, and this year they're doing even more books. So the chain effect of just the one activity of distributing books. And of course, the devotee himself, who is distributing books, to get so much benefit. He's getting purified, he's pleasing Guru and Krishna, and he's making advancement in Krishna consciousness. In fact, the area, the whole area where the book distributor is, they all get purified. The whole area get purified. And anyone who just passed through that area during that day, they get purified. So we cannot imagine actually the immense benefit of just one simple activity of distributing books or Harinam. When we perform Harinam, everyone who just passed by there, they hear the holy name, they're getting purified. Devotees are feeling ecstatic on Harinam, they're getting purified. Even hours after the Harinam party has left, the atmosphere is still so surcharged with the transcendental energy. Anyone who passed by there, they still get purified. And in fact, there was just some months ago, my daughter was involved in a class discussion. They were discussing about different cultures and so on and so forth. And she was a bit tired, so she was sitting at the back of the room, kind of almost dozing off and not really participating. And then someone just mentioned, you know, there's this very funny people. You know, they're jumping up and down on the street, and when you pass by, and if you just wave at them, they say, "Oh, go, hello, Haribo, Haribo," like that. They get even more excited. And then my daughter's eyes woke up. and they have this restaurant. You know, they serve this incredible food. And my daughter really was just, "Hey, that was Hare Krishna, and my father managed the restaurant." And all the kids got excited and they started asking questions about, well, what is it all about? You know, why are they chanting on the street? After a while, the teacher has to stop and say, well, look, don't get distracted. Let's go back to the subject matter. But you can see just the effect, because people just drove by, passed by. How many years ago? And they remembered it. And it came up in the class discussion. Isn't it incredible? And the same thing, because when we distribute prasadam, everywhere I go, people know. They know about crossway. They've been there. And we think, oh, just hard work, just serving prasadam, and just a lot of hard work. But the benefit is so incredible. How people are just getting purified. I mean, people come for eating prasadam for 19 years. You have to get purified. I see people coming every day for the last 19 years. Isn't it the scientists that say every 7 years all the cells in the body change? So, 2 more years their body change 3 times. They're practically a transcendental body if they continue taking prasadam and not committing any sinful activity. They're just eating prasadam. How much advancement they're making. So, therefore actually this Krishna consciousness is so auspicious. Very, very auspicious. And any activity we perform, simple activity, it has so much effect on the environment, so much effect on people coming into contact with it. We cannot, it is not possible to overestimate the effect of the Krishna conscious movement. Usually we are underestimating the effect because we don't see it. It's just like when you throw a stone in the water, all you see is just a ripple, the immediate effect. But what is happening as the stone is going down the water, we don't see. It may bump on the head of the fish or whatever it costs. So it's this Krishna conscious movement is so auspicious, it's just creating ripples throughout the society. And as we go on more and more, the effect will be felt more and more. So this is the wonderful arrangement of Krishna. Wonderful arrangement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just that anything we do in connection with Krishna, not only the person who is performing this activity get benefit, but also anyone who comes in contact. Like Prabhupada said, if you are preaching, 80% is for the preacher. 80% benefit for the preacher. So even when you're preaching, if there's no audience, if nothing else, we're getting purified. And when I first heard how the introduction to Bhagavad Gita came about, it's just amazing. The Bhagavad Gita, the introduction to Bhagavad Gita is such an amazing piece of writing. It was actually during the time when Prabhupada was kind of struggling alone in New York. He had a program, and nobody was attending the program at that time. So he sat down in his four walls, and he remembered his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, told, if there's no one to preach, you preach to the walls. And Prabhupada started giving a lecture to the walls, and by our great fortune, he turned on the tape recorder and recorded it. And that became the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. So it's seemingly, what is going on? It's like someone may ask, what is this man that's just sitting there and preaching to the walls? But that preaching to the walls is now heard by tens of millions of people all over the world. Who would imagine if such an effect? Just sitting in a room, four walls room in New York City with no one around, and then the lecture is still being held, being heard, and still reverberating throughout the world. How many years later? 40 years later, 40 plus years later, it's still being heard. That's incredible effect. So we do not know how much effect we have when we perform our devotional service, how much effect on ourselves and on others, and especially when we are preaching. We have no idea. All we do is just perform our duty and leave the rest to Krishna. Krishna makes the arrangement. The same thing when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. You think he's only speaking to Arjuna, or just the soldiers around who can hear him? It's still being heard. Krishna knows I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita, but someday in the future, ISKCON devotees will distribute this all over the world. He knows. His three kalagyas can see past, present, and future. And so the conversation that Krishna has with Arjuna, spoken 5,000 years ago, is still being heard. And still is affecting people's life. Every day. It's affecting the lives of people. Isn't this so amazing about Krishna consciousness? So when Krishna does something, it's never just one reason. There's so multi-layered reason when you do something. Multi-layered effects. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, he had the external reason. Came to spread the Yuga Dharma. But then you have his internal reasons appearing. You want to taste the love that Radha has for him. What is it? And why is in this relationship, I'm the supreme enjoyer, why is it that Radha is enjoying more than me? And what is it so attractive in me that is so attractive to me? And he came for this reason, and along the way he delivers so many different souls. So that's why when we perform our devotional service, sometimes very often we just go about our devotional service without really contemplating what we're doing, and we just kind of glide along. But it's essential every now and then we just kind of contemplate what am I actually doing here? What is the nature of this devotional service I'm doing? What is it chanting? What is it? What does it mean, this deity worship? What does it mean of this book distribution, this preaching, this cooking, this cleaning the temple, the floor, whatever. Whatever you may be doing, contemplate for a moment, at least take some time during the day. Contemplate. And then we understand the depth, at least get a glimpse of the depth of those activities. Even cleaning a floor is not just a simple clean, just cleaning the floor. How we can affect the consciousness of people who come to the temple just by cleaning the floor. One simple activity can affect so many people. People come in the room, and then just feel. It's just the room is filled, it's just vibrating with and surcharged with bhakti. Not just in the deity worship, but the way the floor is clean, everything is clean, and people just they sense it, they feel it, and they become impressed, they feel affected. So we should not kind of underestimate the activities we're performing in Krishna consciousness and think that, oh, what's the use, you know, or I'm just performing some simple activity, I'm just a bookseller, I'm just whatever, I'm just washing the pots, I'm cooking. Any activity we perform has recurring effects on others. So that's why it's called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness basically means we are conscious of Krishna, performing our activity in that consciousness. We're not just performing activity, we're not just performing service, but we're performing devotional service. We're performing service or activity in Krishna consciousness. So when we perform our activities in Krishna consciousness, that activity will have far reaching effects on our life and on the life of others. So there's also another reason why when we read this, the Shastra, we need the commentaries of the Acharyas to explain further the meaning of those slokas. So So now that the arrangement has been made for Krishna, for Jarasandha to be killed, and later on as we read, Krishna also has an insight how Jarasandha can be killed. It will not be revealed, it will be revealed as we go along this chapter in Bhagavatam, or the next chapter. How Jarasandha is not easily killed, but there's a special method for killing him, and Krishna knows about it. And instructed Bhima how that can be done. And after Jarasandha killed, he's protecting so many of the other demon kings. One after another, the other demon kings got killed. Shishupal. Shishupal is a cousin of Krishna. His purpose in life is to just blaspheme Krishna, insult Krishna right from birth. And it was predicted that he would be killed by Krishna. But his aunt. Then Krishna promised that, you know, you will not kill him. And Krishna promised that I'll tolerate him 100 times. 100 times, right? Yeah. But he used up the 100 times very fast. So at the Rajasura sacrifice, Shishupala was very envious of Krishna, was protesting why Krishna was chosen as the most respected personality in the assembly to be honored. So he took offense from that. He said, why is this Krishna anyway? He's born in a kshatriya and grew up with coward boy. We don't even know what his vana is. And he's a coward. He ran away from the battlefield. That's why he's known as Rancho. How can he be so impudent to take the seat of honor where so many other great personalities are there, like Bhishma, Dronacharya? So as he was blessing, Krishna is counting 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, and the Siddha Chanchaka came. Boop! And start rolling. Head rolling on the floor. So actually, when he was blessing the others, like the Pandavas, they were Sahadeva and others, they were going to just cut off his head. But Krishna just saw him. Don't worry. Coming close to the 100 now. Don't worry. So all these kings were killed, and that fulfilled also the purpose, one of the purpose of Krishna coming. If you read the Krishna book in the beginning, Mother Earth was feeling overburdened by the arrangement of so many armies on the surface. So she went to Lord Brahma And together they went to Svetadvipa and prayed to Krishna, and Krishna said, yes, I'll come to release the burden on Mother Earth. So Krishna arranged, he came, killed all these demons, arranged the battle of Kurukshetra, and so many other soldiers were killed to release the burden. At the same time, give pleasure to his devotees by performing so many wonderful pastimes. And now we're in the month of Damodar. Beautiful pastimes of baby Krishna. The Mother Yashoda, how Mother Yashoda, the Thailand, baby Krishna. So many pastimes. And the other day, last Sunday, Gopaswami, describing the pastimes of Krishna as Gopa, how he was promoted from taking care of the calf to taking care of the cows. And Krishna performed so many pastimes with cows and the cow boys. So in this way, he's enjoying himself, he's giving pleasure to his devotees, and he's also inviting the living and deity. Let's see, come and take part in my pastime, come and enjoy with me. So this is the wonderful nature of Krishna consciousness. And if we take time to contemplate on what we are doing and what this Krishna conscious movement is about, we can be nothing but be always enthusiastic. We will always be enthusiastic, and that's where you can also draw the strength and determination to keep going, despite sometimes there may be difficulties, there may be obstacles along the way. But just contemplating and giving a glimpse of the nature of Krishna consciousness and the effect, powerful effect it has, but just give us a strength, keep going. Like your book distribution. Sometimes it is, and it's not sometimes, often it's very tough. It's hard. But if you just even consider, if I just even distribute one book, I cannot imagine what this one book may have, the effect of this one book may have in the lives of others. It may not touch just one life. It can also change the life of a whole family. And extend the families. It's just like when they were distributing books in Eastern Europe, in Russia, during the time of the Iron Curtain. We speculated, each book distributed is read by at least 20-30 people. People, because their treasure is so much during those times. Anything that is secret, anything that's illegal, has greater value. That one book, they read it and they pass it to the friend, and when you get to see those books that were distributed, they're all really worn out. And you can see that it's been used a lot. It's not nice. Some of the books we sold, you go to people's house, you know, they're still nice and very new on the bookshelf. The only time they touch that book is when they put it on the bookshelf. So, probably. No. But those books over there, it's read by 20-30 people. And no wonder and you can see the effect of those, the preaching from those days. When the Iron Curtain came down, Soviet Union came down, Eastern Europe came down, so many people just became devotees. So many that we could barely handle it. We couldn't really handle so many people joining. So that is up to Krishna, how the effect is going to take place in the lives of others. Krishna is in everyone's heart. All we have to do is just perform our service, our duty sincerely, and the rest is dependent on Krishna. So during this time of marathon, everyone just put a little effort in distributing the books, and you have no idea what kind of effect. 1 year later, someone may walk up to you, Prabhu, remember that time on the 24th of November 2007, you distributed this small book to me. Half a profession. That's the best I ever received. It completely changed my life. I didn't know, I've known Ajay Jani was Jani. The architect.
Jai.
After he became a devotee, I started doing service on someone. Then I found out. I said, you know, Prabhu, first time I came to Crossway, you spoke to me and you showed me a science of self-realization. I didn't remember. So I read that science of self-realization came to the temple and now I became devotee. Now I'm cooking, making proper dhamma for Crossway. Mm-hmm. 2 times a week. And distributing books. Jai. That's not him, someone else. How will I know? I don't even remember. And how will I know the effect that this person who has distributed books, someday he will make proper dhamma for Crossway and do service? If I know that, I will be distributing more books so people will come. So more people will come to help out. No shortage of staff. But that's the way it goes. And as we perform this activity more and more, preaching or service or whatever, more and more people will come forward and say, oh, you remember this time, that time, and I was so impressed with this. And the fact that that is so satisfying to the heart. So everyone has this opportunity to take part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and perform this Sankirtan Yajna. Like the Bhakti Rishan. We just did a couple of meetings with them, give a couple of Sankirtan classes. They all got so fired up. I spoke to Jagannath Ram yesterday. He said they're so fired up that, you know, and now just the first round, they already distributed over 900 books in a three Bhakti Rishan group. Just three Bhakti Rishan group. First week, 900 books. Collected 2,500 Lakshmi point. And I told him, I said, next week we have to do another round of cranking things out a bit more. And who knows by the end of the marathon how many books are in us. Can you be that these books, these devotees who are normally working full time may distribute more books than some of the full time distributors at the rate they're going. They have three or four books, wrap it up in nice string, and then distribute like that. Three, four books to the office colleagues, to the friends, the relatives, the neighbors. The other day I met Srikant on Tuesday, second day, he already did three or four sets. So this is going on. So everyone can do it. And even Alvin can still distribute books to your school friends. But don't let your teachers see that.